And Nick, when you're looking in the free agent pool and you came upon Brandon McGowan, do you sign a guy to maybe stop a weapon of another team? Like, do you look at McGowan and say, all right, we're going to play this many good tight ends this year. He matches up well against those guys. Like, is that part of the thinking in signing a guy like McGowan?
I think when we look at Brandon or any other free agent for that matter, I think you're looking at the player and his skill set and what he does when he's on the field. In Brandon's case, when he was on the field, he was a pretty versatile guy. He played both safety. He played some star where he'd line up in the slot. You know, he's a good athlete. He ran well. He was tough. He was physical, and he was aggressive. So I think with any player, you're just looking at their particular skill set, what they bring to the table as a football player, how that projects into what you do with your club that you really don't know until you actually have them here and you start to move them around and see how they retain things. So really, you're looking at the football player and what he's done and how productive he's been, and then you try to figure out, in the end, what his role is going to be.
Safe to say you're pretty happy with what you've found, considering what he's done to guys like Tony Gonzalez and some to Kellen Winslow.
Well, I think it's a collective effort, too. You know, obviously he has his assignment on a particular call, but there's 10 other guys that are involved. So, you know, Brandon's played. He's been productive. He's done a number of different things for us. So he's played well at this point, just like a lot of other guys have defensively. So I think he's done his job well, and you know, hopefully that will continue moving forward for him and the rest of the group defensively.
Hey, Nick, to piggyback on that a little bit, when you look at a team like the Colts or, you know, whoever it might be, a team that you know that you're going to see at some point, and you're looking at free agents, do you ever really look at particular matchups like, okay, well, you know, we got Gates and we got Clark on the schedule this year and we might need a guy to stop that, or, you know, we're going to have to face, you know, these centers this year, so we might want to get another lineman for that. Is there some thinking that goes on with the matchups that you guys are going to face over the course of the year when you're looking at free agents or looking at draft?
I think really what you're trying to do is you're trying to construct your team across the board and put players in place that you feel, you know, can perform a certain job or fill a certain role. So, I mean, in the end, you're trying to find the best football players you can for your team, realizing that each week, regardless who we play, whether it's Tampa Bay, whether it's Tennessee or whoever it might be, whether it's in the AFC or in the NFC, in the end, you're going to face good football players at a variety of different positions, whether it's a tight end, whether it's a receiver, whether it's a running back. So, you know, just to pinpoint maybe one particular team or one particular matchup, you know, in the end, you're going to have to face good football players regardless of who you line up against and who you play. So I think from your perspective, from the team's perspective, you're trying to find guys who are good football players in turn regardless of their position and, you know, who we feel will have a role and be able to perform that role effectively, you know, when they're on the club, when they're called upon, whatever that might be.
Nick, has Sebastian Vollmer's performance in stepping in from that light surprised you even as high as you guys were on him coming out of Houston? Has it been eye-opening?
Well, I think Sebastian, really, his football base was limited, and I think the one thing about Sebastian is the more that he's played, and this showed up in Houston as well, the more that he played, it just seemed the more comfortable that he became. So, I mean, the reality is he has a good skill set. He's smart. He's tough. He's athletic for a taller player. He's long. And, you know, he's being coached by arguably, in our opinion, the best offensive line coach in the league. And he takes the coaching, and he's a very coachable kid, and he understands what you're trying to do. So, you know, he's gone in there, and he's done his job. And, you know, he's working with a pretty experienced group, so, and that group, those five who are in the game, you know, whoever that might be, whether that's Conley, whether that's Copin, whether that's Mankin. So, I mean, they all, in the end, they work collectively as a unit. So Sebastian's gone in there, and, you know, he's had some decent games up to this point, and hopefully he continues the improvement, which is really what your goal is and your hope is for most young players, is that they continue to grow and continue to improve. And it takes some players a little bit longer than others, and everyone's at different stages, but you know, looks like he's moving in the right direction.
One quick just follow-up on a different topic. Are you guys at all interested in adding anybody in the running back department this week? Are you looking at anybody specifically who's been released?
No, I wouldn't say that we're, you know, going to get any specifics, but, you know, we're cognizant of who the players are, what the market is, who's available. So, you know, we evaluate that on a day-to-day basis, and it's constantly changing, it's constantly evolving. So whenever that does take place, you do your homework, and then you'll make a decision ultimately that you feel is best for the club, whenever that might be, whether it's now, whether it's later, you know, whenever it might be.
Have you guys reached any decision on Larry Johnson?
Well, the way it works with a player like Johnson, he's subject to the waiver process, so technically he's still the product or the, you know, the rights of another club. So, you know, he's subject to the waiver process. We'll go through that today. You know, we didn't put any claims or, you know, we may or may not put any claim for the player. And I'd say probably right now that's all I really say about that situation.
You started it sound like to say we hadn't put in any claims. Just trying to ferret out information as best I can. Do you anticipate putting in a claim on Larry?
We'll talk organizationally, and then, you know, we'll make a decision here at some point that we feel is best for us. So, I mean, I think that we're happy with our running backs. You know, we feel that we have good backs, but whether it's running back, whether it's offensive line, regardless of the position, you know, you evaluate. If there's a football player that's out there that you feel can help your club in some capacity, then you'll evaluate it. But there's a lot of moving parts and there's a lot of components that go into it.
Okay, thanks.
Nick, just as a follow-up, I mean, it's 3.5 hours till we can clear waiver, till the whole thing's over with. So exactly when would you guys meet in the next, like, when would you decide? Because you have, like, 200 minutes or so before it's all done?
We'll decide when, you know, we'll make the decision whenever we reach it. I mean, I wouldn't put a timetable on it, but we'll make a decision, and we'll move on whenever that may be.
Nick, just curious, you mentioned this about, like, finding free agents to fill certain roles and stuff. How is it, you have a lot of young defensive players right now, and they're doing things that they weren't asked to do in college. How do you project those guys out from there to maybe fitting your system?
I think that's a great point. I think that's the one thing that maybe is a little bit different when you're evaluating pro free agents as opposed to players that are coming from college, because they're speaking of college players first. Obviously, they've been in a system that is probably a lot different than what we do, so really there's a projection element to them, so there's a lot of components that go into it. So you look at the player's traits, you look at his intelligence, you look at his toughness, and then you look at his physical skill set, what he does on the field, and then you sort of have to be able to project how that is going to fit. And like I said a little bit earlier, I think different players maybe catch on a little quicker than others, and everybody's learning curve is a little bit different. So until you actually have them here, until you actually have them under your watch and supervision, and you're seeing how they approach it on a day-to-day basis, it's hard to say, okay, by X day or put a timetable when that player is going to be, you know, comfortable enough with what we're doing, and we in turn feel good about where the player is in terms of his development. So it's a difficult thing. It's not easy to do, and you just hope that you're more right than you are, you know, wrong. And it takes time. But I'd say relative to somebody who's played against NFL players, you're looking at apples to apples how they're playing against other NFL players. So there's some similarities, but then there's also some differences, and that's probably the biggest thing as it relates to college scouting and college players. There is a jump that they're going to make.
Nick, can you discuss what happened with the release of Kendall Simmons last week, and then the promotion of Kyle Arrington? What you saw and where you project Arrington?
Yeah, you know, Kendall, you know, unfortunately, it didn't work out, but, I mean, Kendall has been a productive player in the league. I mean, you think he started, I don't know, 80 games or whatever it may have been. He worked hard. He did everything that we asked, you know, and as is the case normally during the year, there's always a lot of moving parts as it relates to the roster. So in Arrington's case, you know, he's been on the practice squad, and like all of our young players that are on the practice squad, I mean, what we tell them is, look, you need to prepare as if you're going to play this week because you never really know when your opportunity is going to arise. So in Kyle's case, you know, he's been practicing. He's been improving. We had some situations come up in the secondary and even on special teams, with Eric, with his situation. So, you know, Kyle was ready to go, and, you know, we promoted him from the practice squad to the active roster, and he went out and played, and he made a few tackles in the kicking game. So he did what we asked him to do in terms of being ready and being prepared. So, you know, it's hard because you're always managing the roster, and it's a day-to-day type thing, and you really never know when that is going to be or who it's going to be. So you just have to prepare as much as you can, and have your contingency plan in place.
Keith said, Nick, that there was that another team had kind of come in on him, and that made it play a role in the whole thing. How often does that happen? How common is that you got to deal with that with your practice squad players, where maybe you got to make a hard decision on a guy based on another team being interested in putting him on the 53?
Yeah, I think league-wide, because the reality is any player that's on another club's practice squad or on our practice squad, for that matter, they're technically a free agent. So they can be signed by any club. So it happens, you know, with what degree of regularity. It varies. But, you know, it does come up. And, you know, in Kyle's case, I think more than anything, it was just, you know, we felt good about the player and his progress that he was making. And, you know, that's why we went ahead and made the move. And there were some other clubs that were interested. But, you know, the reason he was here is because we liked him in the first place. And, you know, like anybody, the reality is anybody that's on your team or on your roster, whether it's the active roster or the practice squad, I mean, they're a part of your club, and they can have an opportunity to play, and they have to be prepared to play every week.
Guys, let's take one more question.
Nick, this is kind of off the board, but go ahead.
Nick, is it too early to tell if you'll have Brandon Tate for this game, and how does that affect some of your planning in terms of as you start to formulate your game plan at this time of week?
You know, Mike, I think we'll know a little bit more here later in the day. You know, Bill has mentioned this a few times, and you know, after the game, it usually takes a day or two to kind of sort itself out. So we'll have a better idea tomorrow. But, you know, if he's not available or if any player is not available, then you just have to go to plan B and then just figure out what players are going to give you the best opportunity to win come Sunday and what players are going to be active. So it's an ongoing thing, and I think we'll know a little bit more tomorrow as we head out to the practice field.
All right, Nick, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.